The Money Game. Let's talk about it. Yes. Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, folks, whatever you think about comes about, and whatever you focus on grows. It expands. It's how it works. It's how attraction works. Truth is, whatever you invest in, you get more of. You want more time and money? You gotta invest more time and money. It's a super simple equation. Thing about this money game is everybody comes at it from a different place, a different starting point, different cultures, different levels. Some people have supportive parents. Some people have horrible parents. Some people are born beautiful, gives you an advantage. Some people are born short and fat, bad DNA. And yet we're all in this same game. And at the end of the day, nobody gives two shits about you or your problems, right? I mean, that's just the reality. So the sooner we come to grips with that, realize, you know, government's not going to help us. Nobody's going to forgive your student loans. Nobody's going to take care of you. You know, unless maybe you're a beautiful woman and want to find a rich guy, you could be taken care of. A little bit harder for men to do that. It's and so this money game, it's not fair. It really isn't. And I suffer from this as much as the next guy. I can look at what I've accomplished. I mean, I'm going to be honest, I was 29 years old. I was broke. You know, my journey, I've always been a hustler. I've always been an entrepreneur. I've always done things to make money. But my start, honestly, wasn't that good. I mean, there was no internet. So we didn't have, like, it wasn't today where you could just get information so fast. You know, a person could just dive into something within 2 weeks, know a shit ton about it, and begin doing things. We couldn't do that when I was a kid, you know. I'm not like an old man. I'm only 48, but I lived prior to the internet. I'm raised by a single mom in Arkansas in a trailer park, like literal definition of poor white trash. That's me. Come high school time, I don't have money for college. It never occurred to me to borrow money to go to college. That never even occurred to me. I joined the Army. That's what poor white kids did. During this time, I'm like an idiot. I marry my high school sweetheart. I get her pregnant. I got a baby out of wedlock. No, we got married. What am I saying? Seemed like out of wedlock. It's so long ago, I can't even remember now. And so I married the high school sweetheart. So I'm just doing one dipshit move after another. And life ends up unfolding based on the decisions that you make in the time. And at the time, I would just make what would be the easiest decision. The problem with this is if you go through life making the easy decision, what is easiest, what is most comfortable, what is quickest, what can I do to quickly alleviate this problem, is you end up with a giant mess. And that's what I ended up with. So basically, I had a child that I paid on like a car payment for 18 years that I had no relationship with, rarely. And today he doesn't really like me because me and his mom never got along. You know, and that is what it is. And he, you know, I'm open. He knows I'm here. He has no interest in speaking with me. That's what happens when two people come together who probably shouldn't. And that is what it is. That's something that I got to live with. And the point is, everyone has baggage and everyone has problems. So starting with the single mom thing, being, you know, a lot of my family, I'm not exaggerating, are in and out of prison, criminal records. Nobody's rich in my family. I didn't have a rich uncle, like, you know, Grant Cardone calls himself Uncle G. I didn't have any uncles like this. You know, but I went to the Army, and when I got in the Army, I met guys that were squared away. And then I remember very vividly meeting the first person I'd ever met, and he had a statement, like a bank statement, on his table. And he was a couple years older than me. He had made some rank real fast. He was a sergeant. So he's trying to mentor young dudes like me. And I just happened to look over. I'm nosy. And I look, and it said like $117,000. And I was like, you have $117,000? And he kind of was like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to have... I'm like, no, man, dude. And he's like... And then we had an honest conversation. And this dude broke down this idea. He goes, yeah, I've been in the Army 5 years. I've been saving half my money. And that was the first time I had heard this idea. So here's a guy in the Army, like a blue-collar average dude. He's got 100 G's in the bank. and I'm flat ass broke, and I've already gotten paid 40 grand from the Army. They paid for my housing, they paid for my food, they provided everything, and I've somehow spent $40,000 and I have nothing to show for it. And I realized right then, man, maybe there's some things I don't know. And so that was my first awakening point. And it became a series of these, and it's how you react to those interactions. It could be a video on YouTube. Man, if they'd had YouTube when I was a kid. But, you know, you got to be careful, because people, like, to say taking advice from a guy like me, I'm 48. My advice is going to be, may not be what you need to hear. Meaning, really smart people could look at you and go, that's a dumb idea. And that idea would have actually worked. Like one of my first mentors after the Army, when I got, you know, I'm an ad copywriter. I do direct mail. I create sales letters. I mail them through the mail to try to pitch my products. And I've become, you know, I don't want to say great. I'm good. I make a living. I make six figures a year mailing letters and postcards in the mail through to targeted mailing lists and running ads, right? I've done that for almost 20 years. So I'm obviously proficient at it, and lost my train of thought there, but it's this idea of how you react to influences and things that come into your life. Oh, my original mentor, the first idea that I really had that I thought would pay off, he poo-pooed it. He said, his literal words is, that's crap. I went on to make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that I was then able to push into real estate and turn into $1 million or more from that one idea that my mentor, who I looked up to, who was very successful, who was very smart, said that my idea was crap. So there's something that, yes, you need mentorship, but you need to understand that people are at different places at any moment in their life. If you ever meet someone who's 18 and they have a 27-year-old sister, like, taking advice necessarily from your 27-year-old sister who now has two kids and is a stay-at-home mom may not be the advice that the 18-year-old young hustler girl that wants to be an entrepreneur needs to hear. And so she's going to need to listen to a lot of different people and then somehow create a filter to decipher that information that's coming at you. This is the problem. If you deep dive into one person, and I'm cool with that, but be careful. Like, I'm a huge fan of Grant Cardone. I love Grant. I love his 10X book. Seller Be Sold. I have $2,000-$3,000 in some of his courses. I am a Grant Cardone fan. And Grant Cardone gives horrible advice to young entrepreneurs, I think. That's my personal opinion. His advice is terrible. Telling people not to buy homes, not to own single family homes, not to get, it's ridiculous. My ROI and percentage return on my investments are double what, man, it's posted on his website. You can go look up Cardone Capital. I'm kicking his ass. Why? Because it's easier to kick ass with smaller sums. Now, that doesn't mean I have more money, meaning I could outperform Warren Buffett. I don't have more money than Warren Buffett because Warren Buffett has the problem of having so much money that now it's hard to move it around. So yeah, to a guy who's worth $500 million, buying a single family home to create an extra cash flow of $200, it's not even worth it. He pays more than that to park his car. So getting advice from that guy about, you know, something like this, it would be, so if I would have took his advice, I would not be a millionaire now. Wouldn't be. I wouldn't be. And yet I still love the guy. I love his information. He's very inspiring. So, you know, in the same way that I love Metallica, I don't agree with the politics of Metallica, right? So I can have people and just disagree, like just disagree. So my point to that is be careful putting too much weight and value on information that rich people or so-called famous people or so-called, you know, quote, gurus and mentors. You need them in your life. I follow all the biggies. I follow a lot of people. I buy a lot of products. But at the end of the day, I'm my own guru, right? Like, I've got to filter all of this information and say, how do I apply it to me and my life? You know, a 16-year-old should not be applying the information that Grant Cardone is putting out. I don't believe at all. I don't think you should be telling all kids, all young people, you need to be entrepreneurs. That is complete bullshit. Most young people don't even have never worked a 12-hour day, 6 days in a row.
Like, I meet people all the time. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to do this. And I'm like, really? How many, and I mean, be honest with me. Be honest with me. How many 80-hour weeks have you done? And I mean grinding 80-hour weeks, doing shit you don't want to do. And usually the answer, if they're honest with me, is zero. They've done zero 80-hour weeks. Dude, you're just getting going at 80 hours. I got friends that own restaurants that do 100+. And they're, guess what? They're washing dishes. They're waiting tables. They're doing everything. They're doing jobs they pay people $8 an hour to do. They're doing that when those people call in. So when you say, I want to be an entrepreneur, understand what you're saying. You may spend the next 10 years broke, disappointed. And a better path for you may have been to go get a job, let someone else teach you skills. Because I know guys wanting to be entrepreneurs, they've never written an ad in their life. There's guys that are, I'm involved in network marketing. They want to be in network marketing, and they don't know how to say hello to people. Like, they can't even communicate effectively. Like, they're scared of people. And you realize that all of the money that you want is in the pockets, purses, wallets, checkbooks, credit cards of other people. And so I teach this idea of the 10 pillars of success. And pillar number 9 is deal and communicate effectively with people. Something like this, like I'm able to talk to people. I don't want anything from you. If you wanted something from me, you would go down that rabbit hole. If I'm putting out good information and good content and just being cool and being myself, leads are going to come to me. People are going to come to me and go, hey, I heard you have a book. Can I get a copy? Yeah, you know. And I did this, you know, I did the same idea with mail order. I began mailing letters into mailing lists of targeted people saying, hey, here's my information. Hey, it's free. Hey, here's this book. It's $5. Send me $5. I'll send you my book. And then they get that book, and then that book sells a $27 book. They buy that book. If they like that book, in the back of that book, it sells my $99 book. Oh, but don't forget, in between, I'm going to send them a letter saying, hey, you got my $27 book. I hope you read it. If you did, the next step is this. And so I'm going to take a person from a free fan who enjoys the content, and if they enjoy it, they're going to walk themselves right up the path all the way to my, you know, $299 book. And then at the end of that, I'm going to offer to them, hey, would you like to help me sell these? Because I'd learned a long time ago in Bible school that that it's better to give than to receive, right? And so that just means it's better to, you know, the Science of Getting Rich talks about this. Give more in use value than you ask for in monetary value. Meaning the book that I sell for $299, it cost me $1 to print it. $1, and I sell it for $2.99. Why? Well, because I pay out a $200 referral commission. Why? Because it's better to give than to receive. Then I bumped into a guy, and he was my mentor, or showed me how to do all this advertising and all this stuff, and he taught me this idea. He used to always say this, hey, Gerald, what you give away, you get to keep. Now, he's saying this before the internet. Isn't that what Gary Vee, that's all of Gary Vee's ministry. Gary Vaynerchuk, the jab, 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 right hook. What you give away, you get to keep. So give away, give away, give away, right hook. Sell them something. Give away, give away, give away, right hook. Sell them something. And if they're not your customer, you're not beating anybody up. You're giving more in use value than you're asking for in monetary value. It's a very simple philosophy that if you apply to business, to life, to relationships, if you give your girlfriend more than she gives you, you give her 2 back rubs for every 1 back rub. You run 2 baths for every 1 bath. You take her to dinner twice. So in everything, the exchange becomes 2 for 1. Again, you give your girlfriend 2 back rubs. You make her dinner twice as much. You pick up the check twice as much. Guess what happens? It's a universal law, man, a reciprocity. They feel obligated. They feel obligated to give to you. And so that's what I do with customers. That's what I do with friends. You know, that's what I try to do with employees. I overpay them, man, then I expect more, right? And they feel obligated. I've taken the same approach to real estate. I try to fix up my houses nicer than any house they would ever see, and then charge just a little bit below the highest price. So when they walk in, they see one of the best properties they've seen in town. They're like, wow, this is beautiful. And then they look, and it's like $50 cheaper than the ones that it's nicer. Best product,
best price. What happens now? I now get to pick and choose who my renters are. I may have 20, 25 people apply, and I get to pick the best candidate, who makes the most money, who can afford it, who has the less debt. And so I begin to pick and choose. I create a system, a strategy for sorting, selecting my customers. I choose who I do business with. See, I only sell the $299 book to the guy that bought the $99 book, and I only sell the $99 book to the guy that bought the $27 book, and I only sell the $27 book to the guy that bought the $5 book. So I'm only selling to willing customers, people who come to me. I'm only renting to people who come to me. And they say, hey, I would like to have your product. I would like to live in your property. Gerald, I would like to give you money. And so I create this strategy, this idea of life that I call the money flow. But it came from a lot of different people, lots of different mentors, not one person. If I would have followed any one person who I at the time thought was my mentor, I don't think I would have been as successful as I am, because they've all disappointed me. I'm telling you, I love Grant Cardone. He gives horrible advice to young people. I love Gary Vee. I think some of his advice is awful, awful. But some of it is spot on. And so you have to be able to filter, you know, and square the two. There's things about Hillary Clinton, as much as I hate to say it, that I liked. There's things about Obama that I like. There's things about Donald Trump that I like, and there's things about Donald Trump that I don't like. And so we have to be able to, you know, you can't just throw, what's the old saying, throwing the baby out with the bathwater? Because someone says one thing you don't like, you can't just dump them. We see this in the world of real estate investing and stock investing. People seem to be team stock, team real estate. You know, it's like us against them. No, I have a video called The Push, where I explain to you how I take money from a job, I push it into a side hustle where I create a business, I push the money from the side hustle into real estate, I push the money from real estate into dividend stocks. And I wanna be involved in all of it. I want a job, I want a business, I want real estate, I want dividend income. See what I'm saying? I wanna create multiple channels, multiple income of creating, multiple ways of creating income, and grow them all. Just grow them all as this unit. Jay-Z talks about this idea that I'm not a businessman. I am a businessman. There's a difference, right? And so I'm eat, sleep, live, breathe me. And me sells things. Me, I am an investor. I am a real estate owner. I am a business owner. I'm not above doing the lowest job or the highest job, because I'm about me. Because if I'm about me, then I can help you. If I'm about me, then I can help my family. Get it? And so by serving yourself, by taking the bits and pieces from everyone around you, a little from Cardone, a little from Gary Vee, a little from Ed Milet, a little from this guy, a little from that guy, a little Ty Lopez over here, a little Gerald Peters over here, and you begin to create your own little soup. This, your own little soup. You know, a little from this guy. Oh, yeah, I'll look at the network marketing thing. I'm not, just because my parents didn't like it. And so a lot of times, what gets you all jacked up is your parents are giving you horrible advice. Most of your parents are broke. Most of your grandparents are broke. Now, they may not be broke, and you may have the ones that, you know, they've done really well. Again, it goes back to be careful. A bright and brilliant man, my first mentor, told me my idea was crap, and it went on to make me a multimillionaire. So you have to filter it. You have to dig in. Why is it crap, Grandpa? Why are you saying this, Mom? And actually listen to their response, because some people will just say, well, I don't like Donald Trump. They don't know shit about Donald Trump. If they were honest with a gun to their head and had to explain some legitimate reasons, they would just rattle off complete nonsense. The same on the other side. If you took some conservative, gun to the head, and said, give me some legitimate reasons, they would just rattle off some memes they saw online. They have never spent any time at all digging into the issues. They haven't. That's most of the people. The beautiful thing is, that's your competition. Your competition is lazy as hell. They're lazy. Dude, 80 hours, I'm just getting going. I will outwork the hell out of you. That's how I went in less than 18 years,
net worth excess of $2 million, hustle and grind. Lots of mentors, lots of gurus taking in information, taking nuggets from here, from there, and applying them to an overall picture that I call the money flow. Hey, God bless. Hey, check it out. If you enjoy the podcast, if you would subscribe, leave me a little note. If you like hearing these talks, my goal ultimately is just to encourage people to begin investing, begin, you know, what in first in yourself, and then in your side hustle and in business, and then into the other people's businesses through the stock market, and then maybe in, even into real estate. These are the things that I do. These are the things that I like to talk about. I've got a couple books on Amazon. They're literally free if you have Kindle Unlimited. You don't have to die broke. How ordinary people can achieve extraordinary wealth. That's just my blue collar hustle grind, make some money. And then if you're into stocks and trading, I have a book called The Money Flow. If you're into network marketing, I have a book called, also called The Money Flow. I don't know if you're supposed to do that, but I did. Have a great week. Thanks for listening.